Today, we're going to talk about butterflies, specifically monarch butterflies. A couple years ago, the last place we lived, we planted lots of milkweed, and we got to see that lots of butterflies came, and we had a place up here that's made of wood, and they lined that place with their chrysalises, or the cocoons, and we got to watch this miraculous process of butterflies. They planted their eggs, they laid their eggs on these milkweed plants. We watched the caterpillars grow, and then the miraculous part of them building this chrysalis and then emerging. And I even caught one of them on video. We'd go out and watch them without their getting close and seeing this remarkable process of transformation. And the other part that's really incredible about these butterflies is they make a very long journey. So they travel 3,000 miles north from Mexico all the way up into the northern part of the United States and up into Canada. But it's not the same butterfly that arrives in Pennsylvania as the same butterfly that was in Mexico. But they go up in generations. Throughout the spring, there's about four generations of monarchs. I guess somewhere across the border, in the lower parts, in Louisiana maybe, I'm not really sure exactly where they go, but they lay eggs there, and those butterflies hatch and transform into butterflies again. Then they go a few states further, and the whole process continues until the fourth generation arrives, for example, here in Pennsylvania. Then, this is the miraculous part, the one butterfly then that's here, when it gets close to fall, makes the entire journey back to Mexico, just one butterfly. Somehow they are able to discern where they should go. Somehow they know that they make this journey up north, and then they're going to go back down to Mexico again. And the question is, how do they know this? We'll find out later, and we'll talk about it later. Let's turn to our scripture. If you'd like to turn to your Bibles, we're going to just go even word for word in this powerful passage of Romans 12, 1 through 2. It's on page 920 in your pew Bibles, page 920. These are two of my favorite verses in the Bible. I love it because it really speaks of the essence of what worship is, and I love worship. I love coming together with the body of Christ and worshiping together. There's something special that happens that's even more special than like just on my own. I sense the power of God, and I sense something happening as we raise our voices together, and I think this passage really speaks to that. So Romans 12, 1 through 2. I'm going to read it again, and Zach read it for us earlier. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it starts off by saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies. So right here we know this is something really, really powerful. Because he's saying, first of all, take into account the mercies of God, his grace, his compassion, how great his mercy is. Zach earlier mentioned his 311 group. In my 311 group, there's a three of us right now meeting together. We were four, but Nate went off and started his own group, is what we want to see happen. But we were reading Ephesians and Colossians last week, and some of those verses just stood out to me so powerfully. First one is in Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. It says that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So look at those things that are highlighted in yellow. It says that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Then it goes on and says that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So as we approach God in worship, we need to do this in view of his mercy. And in that mercy is his desire to pour out his power on his people. That he is rich in mercy, it goes on. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. So when we say in view of God's mercy, we're not saying, oh, I don't know if God really wants to deal with someone like me. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I can come before God. Instead, he's saying, I am rich in mercy. And he calls every person to come before him, knowing that he is ready to bless and to pour out his great power. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that's available for you. Now, that's just mind-blowing. And really, we've not really understood what that means. And we need that understanding of God's mercy and his power to be broadened and made larger and larger, of understanding that, yes, actually, God wants to work through me. He wants to work through you. And he wants to do a great work of transforming us. He came that the incomparable riches of his grace would be expressed to us in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So just think about this. What are the greatest riches you can imagine? What are the greatest blessings that you can imagine in your own life? That's what God wants to do to us and with us and in us. He's not holding back in any area. So we come to God, first of all, in view of his mercies. Then, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this is where it gets intense. Really, God? You want me to offer my body as a living sacrifice? If you'd imagine like an altar right here, I imagine just saying, okay, God, here I am. I'm going to lay down on this altar. And it's a place of complete vulnerability. It's a place of saying, God, I give you everything in my life. Have your way with me. Do whatever you want. I think of Job. He said at one point, when he was talking about his struggles, he says, I will trust in God. Even if he slay me, I will trust in him. That's the trust that God wants us to put to him, to come before him as a living sacrifice, to present our bodies. Now, notice one thing here. Bodies is plural. So that speaks to all of us as individuals. He's calling us to come and present our bodies to him. But then it goes on and says, as one living sacrifice. Sacrifice is singular. So what does this teach us? It means that we're not called just to have an individual pursuit of God. We're called to come together as the body of Christ, and we come together offering our bodies, but as one living sacrifice before God. And in this, he comes, he makes us holy and pleasing and perfect. And he says, this is your spiritual service of worship. So when I'm leading, I used to lead worship a lot, and I love this because I have this image of, come on, people, we're going to get together, we're going to come together as one, and we're going to come to the throne room of God, and there's an altar there. And we're going to put ourselves in that altar and surrender everything to him as one act of worship together as the body of Christ, holy and pleasing to him. We come to the altar of God. As a place, again, of surrender, of kneeling, of bowing and saying, God, I'm unworthy of your mercy, but I come trusting in you that you are good. And I want to come as your worshiper, and I want to enter into your presence, because that is what God invites us to do, is enter into his very presence where there's power and where his transformation comes. Worship is not just a place where we come and sing songs to God and speak out words and say some prayers. It's a place of encounter with God. Worship means encounter. So it's not just us speaking to God, but God responds. And that's what we want to experience here, is the response of God in our worship. To come before him as a people of God, and in that place then experience this miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God, when his presence is thick among us. We come not asking necessarily for that, but we just come praising God, speaking out our words of thanksgiving, and then we move into an intimate place of worship, of just ministering to the heart of God, saying, we want, Lord, to bless you. You're precious to us, speaking beautiful words and singing to him. And I just think then there's no way that God can resist not blessing his people. When we come before him, just giving everything, no conditions, but believing in his greatness and his power. And when we come expressing our love because we've been touched by him and we love him and we know of his wonder and his grace. And in that place of worship, God loves to respond to his children. And that's what we expect. So going on then, it says, and do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. So there's an interesting connection here. First, it's talking about putting ourselves on the altar as living sacrifice before him, presenting our bodies. It says this is our act of worship that's pleasing to God. And then it goes right into talking about not being conformed to the patterns of this world. Well, first of all, the word world there is actually the word that means a period of time. A better translation, it's the times we live in. Do not be conformed to the times that we live in. These times are always changing. There's new weird stuff that comes around us. And how do we, as the people of God, remain on the right path, remain with our thoughts pure, and not be conforming to the times that are around us? I think we all know we are influenced by what happens around us. Our minds, whether we like it or not, in many ways are being molded by circumstances, by media, by our peers, by the news, by the things we read and hear about, by movies, by music we listen to. All of these things have an influence on our minds. Now, years ago, the Mennonites who that came before us in this church, a lot of them believed the way to deal with this is to separate ourselves from the world. No TVs, cut everything off so that we remain pure and we don't become influenced by the ways of the world. But we no longer believe that that is the right way to serve Jesus in this world. And in fact, our God is great and he is mighty and he is able to protect our minds. He's able to change the way that we think and the patterns of our thought patterns, how we view our world, to determine what are the values that we hold dear and how we're going to stay true to those values. Our God is strong and he is mighty. And when we trust in him and we are continually offering ourselves as living sacrifices and going to his altar, when we're involved with the body of Christ as one living sacrifice, when we're reading God's word together, when we're worshiping, when we have friends that we can lean on and that can hold us in accountability, then our thought patterns are being renewed by Jesus. As we meditate on his word, that's why I think these 3-1-1 groups, also our women's Bible studies, whatever it is, whatever works best for you, being deep in God's word, meditating on his word, being involved in worship, being involved in service, all that is worship as well. These are the ways then that our minds are renewed. We need to ask ourselves, what are the influences in our life that are molding our minds? What are the influences in the lives of our children, our youth, our families that are molding our minds? And are we taking those steps of making sure we stay grounded in the Word of God, grounded in the body of Christ? It goes on to say then, and do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let's look at this word transformed, and we can look at this next slide with a monarch and a caterpillar. The word there for transformed is actually in the Greek the word for metamorphosis. In other words, it means to change into another form, to be transfigured, like when Jesus was transfigured. It's talking about that dramatic transformation, becoming someone brand new. When the caterpillar goes into that chrysalis, it emerges completely transformed. And how is it even possible? How can a caterpillar like that turn into a butterfly like that? But this is the transformation that God wants to do in each one of our lives. Jesus actually called it being born again. That he invites us to come to him, surrender everything. Know that we have sinned. We've fallen away from God. We've done things that hurt others. We've turned against him. But when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that moment, when we say yes to him, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you. I want to be transformed into a new creature. That is what happens. He calls us to bring our burdens to the cross, to lay them down and say, Lord God, I want to die to my old self and I want to emerge as the new creature, the new man that you've called me to be. And then begins that process, which is beautiful, of discipleship, of learning to walk with him. And he continues to transform us day by day and renew our thoughts. But friends, it comes with that first step of kneeling before him, surrendering our lives to him. It says, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's by being transformed that God renews our minds, and then we are able to be in the world, not of the world, but be in the world and discern what is right. That we can see clearly to know the values that God calls us to live by, to be in love, to be able to say, no, I'm not going to participate in that. But I know what I'm called to do, which is to go out and serve and love others. In this place of transformation, this place of worship that we're talking about, when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, we are transformed and we are empowered with the power of God to go out. He sends his Holy Spirit to us and fills us so that we can serve. Now, to understand these two verses correctly, we need to look at the rest of chapter 12. It goes on and it talks about spiritual gifts. For instance, in verse 6, if you have your Bibles open, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So, when we're talking about worship this morning, Pastor Jeremy gave a wonderful message last week saying that worship encompasses all of life. We're talking about this experience of presenting our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. This is actually our call to service. I mean, it is interesting. Why did he say living sacrifice? Paul could have just said, present your bodies as a sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to him. But he put in this word, living sacrifice. We talk about going up and placing ourselves in the altar before God, the place of complete surrender. But you know what? We're not called to stay there. We're not called to stay on this altar. We're called to get up, being transformed. I've been empowered, and now I'm going to go. I'm going to go out of these church doors with confidence that, yes, I can remain strong in this week. I can be strong against temptation. I can rule my thoughts. I can take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And my thought patterns will change as I daily meditate on his word, as I remain in fellowship with other believers. But then as I interact with people who don't know him, people who have different values in mind, people who don't know Jesus, then I can trust he's going to work through me in the lives of others. They're going to sense his peace, his love, and his joy. And yes, there may be a moment when someone's going to ask us a question or we'll feel prompted to share something, we can help someone come to know the beauty of what it means to walk with Jesus. Back to the caterpillar. Some of us may feel like, you know what, I'm still that caterpillar. I've been eating, pooping, and just doing what caterpillars do. that I'm not getting anywhere with my spiritual life. We need to just ask and say, Lord Jesus, would you take me into that place of transformation, whatever that looks like? Would you take me into that chrysalis, the place of repentance, the place of being reformed, and would you make me new? I want to fly like a butterfly. I want to fly with that discernment that I know where to go, I know what to do, that I am confident in you. And I want to be one who praises you with great joy because of how wondrous you are. How many of you ever watched two butterflies flying around together? It's crazy. It's like, how on earth can they do that? It's a mystery. I love watching it. It feels to me like they're dancing on the air, and it feels like praise of God to me when I watch especially monarch butterflies flying. I'd like you to hold that image of saying, this is what God calls us to do. He wants us to be free to fly and overflowing with hope and joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to sing a song. Some of you know it, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, which is coming next, let this just be a time of preparing. And I invite you just to pray this prayer. If you want to, you can sing along with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.